In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray together the Our Fathers. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you everybody for joining us tonight, and welcome to the new year. Happy New Year to everybody. Today, I want to talk about a little bit about the Ten Commandments that we have been talking about, and then going into the virtues, going into the theological virtues. And we need to go a little bit back into the classes that we were talking about before we talk about the Ten Commandments. And we know that in the Ten Commandments, we see the will of God for us. So we need to remember that in the Ten Commandments, we find God's will. The people of Israel, they found God's will for them in there. We are called to follow the Ten Commandments, but we need to understand the spirit of the law so that the Ten Commandments, the law, they do not become a burden for us. But if we understand the spirit in which they were given, then we will see God's love in this for all of us. So the question then that we have to ask ourselves is, who gave us the law? Who gave us the Ten Commandments? Right? We have to ask in order to understand them and the source of them, and why do we need to obey them? We need to understand who gave the Ten Commandments to us. And we know that the Ten Commandments were given by God, the Most High, the one true God. That in the Old Testament is reveals himself as a father, as the God who is, right? And where does he take this law? Where does he find this law? So we know that he takes this law from his mind, from his thought, right? And how did he give this law? Well, he gave this law through his word. And why did he give this law to us? Because he loves us. That's the spirit of the law. Love. He gave the law because he loves us. He needed to teach us obedience. St. Paul will say that through the law we learned obedience. And we know that it was the act of disobedience of Adam and Eve that took us out from the state of grace in which Adam and Eve were created. It was that act of disobedience that took us out from the state of grace. So even though we are not responsible for that, we participate in the consequences of that act. So the spirit of the law is love. God gave the law out of love for us. And we see that the law there that commands us, the first commandment that commands us to love, right, is created out of love. So in that sense, we know that God is love, because the law is an expression of his love for us. It comes from him, and he is love. So nothing that is not love comes from him. I don't know if that makes sense or not. So from him, he takes, from his thoughts, he takes the law. out of love, he gives this law. And he gives the law through his word, which is Jesus. So already we also see there the image of the Blessed Trinity. God, the Father, giving, taking from his thoughts. Out of love, which is the Holy Spirit. And giving it through his word, the written word there. So we see the image already there of the Blessed Trinity. That's the true spirit of the law. Love is not out of revenge. It is out of mercy and compassion and love for his children, for all the human race, that he gives us this law. And in the book of Deuteronomy, in chapter 6, from 4 to 9, we find something very interesting there. I don't know if, Barbara, do you have the text there? Do you want to read it? You have it or no? You don't have it? Okay. Okay, let me read it. It's Deuteronomy 6, 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is very important, what the next passage. And these words which I command you this day shall be upon your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise, and you shall bind them as a sign upon your hand, and they shall be a spatulas. They shall be a frontlet between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. So to meditate, this is the commandment that God gives to the people of Israel. To meditate upon this law, then there in the same book, Deuteronomy 6, 12 to 15, the Lord says, and because you listen to these ordinances, referring to the Ten Commandments, and keep and do them, the Lord your God will keep you, will keep with you the covenant and the merciful love which he swore to your fathers to keep. He will love you, bless you, multiply you. And in 50, he says, and the Lord will take away from you all sickness and all evil disease. So we see, as we have seen also in Exodus 20, that the promise given to those who follow the law and to those who fulfill, who know, who study the law, is abundance of blessings. And again, we have to see in the law the true spirit, which is love. That the law was given not out of revenge, of vindictiveness, because at that time, still we were enemies with God, but God loves us. So out of love, he gives his law to all of us. So as long as we understand this part, this little part, then we will be okay, knowing that the true spirit of the law is love, right? So now let's go to the virtues. Why do we need the virtues? Why do we need the virtues? We need the virtues to form our conscience. Why do we need the Ten Commandments, the law? Because the law is for, the law forms the conscience. So the conscience is formed by the law. In the Book of Heaven, in Volume 1, again, that passage, we have been referring to that passage over and over, because that's one of the basic things that we need to understand also in order to have a good foundation. The Lord says to Luisa Picaretta, I want you to be always upright in your actions. Notice that he says in your actions, meaning that the actions that we do, they reflect what is in our heart and in our mind. Because the actions are the fruit, the actions, the acts that we do, they are the fruit of the human will. And in order for our acts to be in the divine will, to have that seed of the divine will, to be invested with the seed of the divine will, right? They have to be upright. They cannot be immoral acts. That's also something very important that we need to understand. As long as we understand that the acts, the actions, are the fruits of the human will, right? And these actions, when they are in line with the Ten Commandments, they produce goodness. And they can be invested with the divine will. Otherwise, right, they cannot be invested with the seed. Okay, and I want to read you a passage that comes from volume 28 of the Book of Heaven. It's from March 12, 1920, in which the Lord Jesus tells Luisa Picaretta, unless the soul lives in my divine will and gives it the first place of honor in its acts, unless the soul lives in my will, in my divine will, and gives its first place of honor, to give the first place of honor to the divine will. Its acts, the acts that this soul produces, cannot be invested with its seed, S-E-E-D, of the divine will. So, unless the soul is formed, the conscience is formed through the law, we cannot have an upright conscience, and we cannot have these acts that the Lord desires in us. Our acts will not be invested with the divine will. Because remember, it is the divine will who takes from us, and it operates behind every single act that we do. In the Catechism of the Catholic Church, in there, we find something that we need to understand a little bit. Let me read you this passage. In the Catechism of the Catholic Church, in numeral 1784, the Church tells us the education of the conscience is a lifelong task. The education, the formation of our conscience is a lifelong task. From the early years, it says, it awakens the child to the knowledge and practice of the interior law recognized by conscience. So we need the prudent education, the education of the conscience that gives freedom to the heart. The education of the conscience is formed by the law, the moral law. So by forming our conscience through the Ten Commandments, when we face a moral choice, when the conscience is formed through the law and it faces a moral choice, can make a right judgment. So it will be an upright act. So the act will be in accordance with the divine law and according to reason also. So by, first of all, knowing the divine law, the Ten Commandments, studying them, understanding the spirit in which the law was given, which is love, God is love. In love, he created that love for all of us. He was thinking in all of us. In the same way that he was thinking in Adam when he was creating the universe, the light, the sea, the stars, everything. He had in mind his creature to invest him with all this love. And out of love, he created everything. Now that the creature has fallen into sin by disobedience, now out of love again, thinking in all of us who participate from the consequence of the fall, all of us sinners, out of love, he creates the law to bring us back, to form and reshape our consciences so that we may be pleasing to him and we may be able to produce good acts. Acts pleasing to him that give him praise, glory, honor, and adoration. So we create a disposition in our soul so that the acts that are produced by the human will, they can be invested with the divine will, with this gift that is being offered to us through the writings of Luisa Picarreta. But unless they are good acts, they cannot be invested with this gift. Because God cannot invest an evil act with his gift. It will be contrary. So in that way, we also understand that every time that our human will produces good acts, we become more like God. We become more like God because we give birth to light, to an act that is in the likeness of God. The opposite happens when it is an evil act. We give birth to evil when the soul is not formed. So it's very important to have the formation of the conscience so that we can do good, so that we can, when faced with moral choices, we can decide and make a right judgment, right? So the ignorance, right, the ignorance of the law, the ignorance of the law does not exempt us from sin, because the law has been given to us. So it is important for us to reflect on this if we want to attain also the possession of this gift, that the acts when the soul is formed, the conscience is formed, then it is able to produce acts in union with God's will, then that soul continues to be amplified and magnified. So the law, obedience to the law, give us spiritual health already. By obeying the law, by knowing the law, by obeying it, by loving it, gives us spiritual health. But we do not attain union with God yet. In order for us to attain union with God, we need also to live out the law in us. And this, right, happens in a more perfect way also when we are in this united with God's will and when we are in the state of grace through the sacraments, because the sacraments, they give us grace. In baptism, we are more perfectly united with God's will. So we receive the theological virtues in baptism. And in there, the creature, the child, is united with God's will because sin is being taken away by the sacrament of baptism. The creature receives three gifts. We call them theological virtues. They come from God. They give us grace. And grace is God himself. In the first volumes of the Book of Heaven, I believe it's in volume third volume, our Lord talks about the virtues to Luisa Picaretta, and he says, the virtues, faith is God himself. God himself giving himself to the creature that now is ready to receive these gifts, the gift of God. So God puts out himself into the soul of the creature. We become temples of the indwelling place of the Blessed Trinity. And that life has to grow. Once we receive this grace, this life of God, yes, we can lose that grace by sin. We still can lose that grace by sin. But through the sacraments, we recover that grace. And here, there is an opportunity also to talk about the sacrament of confession. When somebody sins, right, that life that is supposed to be growing in us, the life of God, stops, cannot increase because of sin. But then when we go to confession, God takes us back. He forgives our sins. And we begin again, not from when we left off, but he brings us to where we were supposed to be, and he takes us from there. Once we sin, in the life of God, that grace stops growing in us because of sin. Stays there, and then when we go back to confession, we should have been in advance. But God takes that away, and he brings us up to the level that we should have been. Have we not had sin? So this is, if people understand also the sacrament of confession, how powerful it is that God brings us not only to the place that we were when we sinned, but he brings us up to the place that we were supposed to be. And the virtues, again, are necessary. The virtues, the virtue of faith, hope, and charity. They are necessary for us to grow because they are, again, coming from God himself. We don't do anything to deserve them. They are freely given to us in baptism. And that shows also who God is. God is love. God is generosity. God is a father who gives us, out of love for us, his creatures, his new children in baptism, he gives us those gifts that we need. The virtues of faith, hope, and charity, they represent in a way who God is also. Three in one. The virtue of faith that gives us the ability to believe, even though we don't see. It enable us to believe in God. That's why we say to walk by faith, even though we don't see, but we believe. We believe. And the virtue of hope that enables us, right, to look beyond, also beyond this earthly life. The Spirit of God living in us, palpitating us, breathing in us, pointing us towards the kingdom of heaven, towards the eternal happiness. When we see the virtues, the theological virtues through the lens of the divine will, we see that these gifts are infused in us by God. God infuses these three gifts, faith, hope, and charity, in us, in the soul. In a way, he's infusing himself in us to make us capable of believing in him, to make us capable of hoping and loving him. That's why he gives us the first commandment, to love him with all our heart, our mind, our soul, because he knows we are able and capable of loving. In the New Testament, with the sacraments, especially, right? The sacrament of baptism enabled us to love God in a more perfect way. So now in the New Testament, we are not only called to order as the people in the Old Testament, that they didn't have the sacraments. They were called to order, to obedience. We are called to not only to order and obedience, but now we are called to perfection through the law and the sacraments now. Because the sacraments, they confer on us the three virtues. The sacrament of baptism confers on us the three virtues. So if in the Old Testament the people were given this law to align themselves to order, we now are called to walk through the orders and perfection, holiness, which is the universal call for all of us to become holy. That's the universal call, that we are all called to be holy in whatever vocation God gives us. Abiding by the law, by the Ten Commandments, forming our conscience through the law again, using the law as our guide, seeing in there the love of God, the Spirit of truth, the same Spirit of love that was at the beginning in creation, that God, out of love for Adam, having in mind his creature, he created everything that exists. And now, having in mind all of us who participate of the consequence of that disobedience, having in mind all of us to bring us back God's desire for all of us, for our souls, to take us back, to bring us back, to having us back, he gives the law to bring us into order. And he goes even beyond now through the reconciliation of our Lord Jesus on the cross. Now he calls us to perfection, to be like him, perfect, through the sacraments. And he gives us all these gifts. In baptism, he gives us three gifts, faith, hope, and charity, so that we may again learn how to love him again and to go back to the first words that Adam issued as he spoke to his heavenly fathers. I love you, my God, my Father, the author of my life. When we obey the first commandment and all the commandments, we are saying to God, I love you, my God and my Father, the author of my life, the giver of the law, the giver of the sacraments. And now we can say the giver of this divine gift, the gift of being able to live in his divine will. So you see how everything is connected. You see that is God's love operating in different time and space, calling us back. And in the same way that he created out of love for Adam, out of love for all of us, that we fall into disorder, he creates order again. The book of Genesis, the first thing that we see that is in the book of Genesis, disorders. There was chaos, void. And God comes and creates order. Let it be light. He replaces darkness with light. Where there was disorder, now he brings orders. So we see that as in the conscience, in the soul of man, there is disorder now. Now God is not created in the universe. The universe is now created. So now he is reshaping, recreating the soul. So because we see the first murder, the two brothers, right? Cain murdering Abel. So now out of love, he says, you shall not kill. Out of love for us to reshape our souls, because now the soul has been disfigured by sin. Now he is recreating. He's bringing order in the same way that he was bringing order in creation in the book of Genesis now. But now it's at the spiritual level. Now it's at the spiritual level that he is redesigning, right, giving laws to the soul. In the same way that he created the law of gravity that keeps order in the universe, the day and the night, he separated the elements. Now he is creating and giving these laws to the soul to be able to have some order, spiritual order. And God knows that the creatures, the soul, was disfigured in its moral core, in its actions. So it has to give new laws. You shall not kill. You shall not steal. Adam and Eve, they disobey. Now obedience through the law, right? To honor God, to love the fathers and mothers. And God, who is a father, we have to love him first. The fourth commandment applies for God too. Honor your fathers and mothers. So God is our heavenly father. So you have, in this way, you have to see how much God loves us. That he was thinking in each one of us. He was thinking in each one of us when he gave the law. Even though we didn't exist in time yet, he had all of us in mind. Isn't that wonderful? That we existed in God's mind already. And because he loves us, he says, I give you the law. Because he knew that one day we will come to know this law that says, love me. Love me with all your heart, your mind, your soul. Love me. Do not take my name in vain. Love me. Keep my day holy. Love me. Sanctify my day by obeying and walking on my law. You know? So what a beautiful thing that we are honoring the days, the day of the Lord today by meditating on his law and his precepts. Right? So that's something that we have to really understand, the spirit in which the law was given, out of love. And if we do this, then we will be able to see the rest. That in the sacraments, when Jesus was instituting the sacraments, he knew that we needed to be cleansed. So he creates, he gives us the sacrament of baptism. Even though we were not in time and space, we didn't exist yet. In God, we existed always. We existed. So as he gives us the sacrament of baptism, he's thinking in all of us. In the same way that he was thinking in Adam when he was issuing creation. Right? He was thinking in all of us because he knew that one day we will be immersed in those waters of baptism and we will be able to be united with him. And he knew that we needed these virtues. We needed faith, hope, and charity. The faith, the gift of faith that is a virtue infusing us. God infusing, giving himself to the creature, giving himself to the creatures. So that the creature may believe in him. So the creature may no longer be deceived by the first one who deceived our first parents, Adam and Eve. Right? Reverting that. And then giving us hope to desire to arrive to that place. To desire to be with him. To put in our hearts that desire. And if we keep that desire alive, one day we will see it. So that desire of believing in him, you know, believing in him and the desire to be with him will take us to give birth to our acts. The will give fruits that are the acts. These will be charitable acts that will render our soul more like God. It will configure our soul to become like God, to become another Jesus, to become a living host. And through the gift of the divine will, this will be more perfectly done in us. Because now when we walk this way and we are in union with God and our acts are united with his will, then every single act that we do that is a fruit of the human will is a divine act. So in a way we can say that we give birth to God with every single action that we do. But notice that the opposite happens when the conscience is not formed by the law. And the conscience has not been formed. And the human will gives fruits that are not in accordance with the law. Then we don't give birth to God, but we give birth to the evil one. So we conceive God in our hearts. And we express that in the fruits of our will, the actions. So that's why it is important to form our conscience through the law and to see this relation. In the Book of Heaven, our Lord Jesus tells Luisa Picarreta that when Adam was in the state of grace, every single act that he did was invested with light. In the Creed, we say that God is light from light, right? God emanates light. It's the first thing that he creates in the Book of Genesis. Let it be light. So we know what's the opposite of light. It's darkness. And we know who is the father of darkness. So we don't want to give birth to acts that are not light. So this gift that we have received from the writings of Luisa Picarreta, we have to see also that this gift has been given to us out of love. So we can say that we can ask the same questions. Who gave this revelation? Right? This revelation comes from our Lord, which is God, who is God himself. Why did he give us this revelation? Because he loves us. He loves us. He wants to bring us back to that order in which we were created. So out of love, he gives us these writings with the spirit of love, mercy. So we don't have to be afraid when we read these books and we encounter passages that are not so encouraging, that sometimes they are a little bit scary, because our Lord tells us that he will have to cleanse, to purge the earth. This is in volume 23 of the Book of Heaven. The Lord tells Luisa Picarreta that he will have to purge the earth because there is so much disorder. And why do we have disorders? Again, because the law of God is not written in the heart of man anymore. And if there is no law, the law is not there, there is disorders. If the law is not there, right, the presence of God many times is gone. So instead of giving birth to divine acts, the souls, through the human will, they produce evil acts that offend the Lord. So instead of glorifying God through the acts done in the divine will, we offend God. And then his justice has to be mitigated, has to be appeased. So it is very important to see even these writings, the true spirit of these writings. The true spirit of these writings is also love, given to us out of love. Why? So that we may go back to the order, that we may attain the purpose for which we were created, to love God for all in a perfect way, with all our heart, mind, and soul, and with every single act, as Adam and Eve were loving God before the fall, with every single act, at every single moment, perfectly united with his will. So then you tell me if it's necessary the sacrament of baptism or is not, right? If we see it in this way, you tell me if it's necessary to follow the law, the divine law, or not. Then you tell me if it is worthy to spend the time to read these books, the Book of Heaven, right? To perfect us. So it's something that we have to reflect, because in this way, we will attain that basic foundation that the Lord wants, that he gives again to Luisa, as he says, I want you to be always I want you to be always upright in your actions. Notice that he says in your actions. And we say that the actions, the acts are the fruits of the human will. If the human will is united with the divine, right? They will be divine acts, we can say. Perfect acts that please glorify God. Adoring acts, listening to God. But if they are not, the opposite will happen. And the acts, they come, right, from the human will. And we know that the human will is one of the three senses or three powers of the soul, right? So it is a reflection also of what is in the soul. If a soul, if a conscience is truly formed in the law, then one will always be upright in his or her actions. The Lord continues and he says, with one eye, look at me, and with the other eye, look at what you are doing. So always to have in mind the law of the Lord and our actions. If our actions are in accord with God's law. And if we do that, then, you know, we will be able to attain this gift. We have the foundations in us, the dispositions in us, so that this gift can really take root in us, so that we can please and glorify with every single act. I want to read this passage that comes from the Catechism. It says, a human being must always obey the certain judgment of his soul. When faced with a moral choice, conscience can make either a right judgment in accord with reason and the divine law, in accord with the divine law, or contrary. And if it makes a contrary act, right, an erroneous judgment, then the presence of God in that soul, in a way, the grace departs. So that's the risk that we can lose the grace that we receive from the sacraments. So that it is necessary to know the law. It is necessary to meditate on them. And when we are in union with God and our soul is disposed and all of this, our Lord says, the smallest act done in the unity with my light, with the light of the divine will, these smallest acts done in the divine will are superior and greater than all the other acts done. One single act, the smallest act done in the divine will, is superior than all the acts together are not in the divine will. So if we one act done in the divine will, we are able to surpass the other acts, right? It is very important then to really try to achieve that perfection in us, because we are all called to perfection. That's the perfection of the law. Jesus calling us to perfection, perfecting the law. So don't be disappointed, but be encouraged and try to persevere. Try to really meditate on this and know that you already possessed God through the sacrament of baptism. We already possess those gifts in us that enlighten us to order that that our soul already is enclosing God through the virtues. That's how God is able to descend, to abide, and to expand our souls also through the virtues. And the virtues, remember that once you are in union with God's will, the virtues, they are exercised at every single moment with every single act. You don't have to wait until the moment arrives to exercise each one of them, but they are being exercised at every moment. When the moment arrives, then to test them, a particular one, then you arrive to the occasion that you can receive more grace, but that virtue will be already fortified to grow even more. So I want to leave it on that for tonight, but I want you to go to the Catechism of the Catholic Church and really try to look at these virtues that we receive in baptism, the theological virtues. You can go to the Catechism, and I'm going to give you the numerals. It's 1812 to basically 1825 in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. It's very simple that the Church gives us the explanation and these gifts that enrich us with the light of God in our souls, that renders our souls more perfectly united to Him, and it renders the image of God in our souls in a more vivid way, especially in the sacrament of baptism, that we come to the possession of bearing God, the image of God in our souls in a more clearly way. And we are called to perfect that image of God in us through the sacraments and now through the gift of the divine will at every single moment. So it's a great gift that God has given us. It's a great act of love that God has given us through these writings also of Luisa Picarreta. So remember, the same love that was in creation, the same love was in the giving of the law to Moses. And that same love that was in the living, in giving the law, that same love is in the writings given to us through Luisa Picarreta, because God wants us to really possess His life as much as we creatures are possible to possess it while we are here on earth, right? So it's a great opportunity, a great treasure that we have. So don't waste it. Use it always and unite yourselves with the divine will. And we will continue next week, I guess. We have 5 minutes for questions related to our class tonight. I don't want you to be more confused. I hope I didn't confuse anyone. So if you want to comment